Man, it's Thanksgiving season. Hallelujah. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but I'm looking forward to Mama's dressing and turkey and gravy and homemade biscuits and cranberry sauce. And I'm going to keep you to about two today. And all those fixings, man, that giblet gravy. Good Lord. Woo. Man, I can smell it right now. Y'all smell that? Yeah, that sage, old man. Cornbread cooking, getting ready for that stuff. And he said, "Preacher, what are you doing?" It is Thanksgiving season. Amen. It's also football season. Glory to God. You're wanting to hurry up and get over if you're Arkansas football fan, though. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I told Scotty the other day I'd give him another, get him an LSU tape. He'd take that razor back off. And I thought he was going to whoop me right out in the parking lot. Scotty's a real fan. He's with them when they ain't no good most of the time. And when they are good, I'm picking on. I'm going somewhere with this. This actually ties into my message. But he's a true fan. And he's just not a good weathered fan, you know, when the weather's good and they're doing good. He is a full-time fan. Amen. You're just gullible. You just keep believing. You're hoping that Petrino's going to do it, and he's not. Amen. Well, they have moments. Amen. But I do want to talk to us because it is Thanksgiving season, and it is football season. Amen. And I want to talk to you. I preached this message a while back, a year or so ago, and the Lord laid it on my heart for today. I want to read something before I get into my message that a friend sent me this morning. You know, we can get into the rut of stuff. We can get into the flow and we're just right there and we're making things happen, but we're in a rut. Nothing's really happening and we're just there. And I want to read this to you real quick that I thought was very fitting for today. It starts out, it's a devotion that my friend sent me. And it starts out this way. It is high time to awaken out of sleep. Comes from Romans 13:11. It says, one of the greatest enemies of faith is indolence. It is much easier to suffer than to rise and overcome. You ever thought about that? Just to swallow. It's easier just to wallow than it is trying to get up and do something is what. It says, it's much easier to go to sleep on a snowbank and never wake again than to rouse oneself and shake off the lethargy and overcome the stupor. Faith is an energetic art. Prayer is intense. Prayer is intense labor. The effectual working prayer of the righteous man avails much. It's tough sometimes when you're going through life and your faith has been depleted. It's in short supply. It feels like your faith is at a critical moment. And it's hard to be like King David when he said he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes there's nothing. We look around and we don't find anything to be encouraged about. But we have to dig deep. It's hard. Satan tries to put us to sleep. Satan tries to put us to sleep as he did the disciples in the garden. But let us not sleep as do others, but let us awake and be sober, continuing in prayer and watching therein with all perseverance, stirring up others and ourselves to take hold of his strength. Not slothful, but followers of them who through patience inherit the promise. We should stir up one another. We should be so full of life and God. I'm not saying you won't go through trials, but we should stir up ones around us. We should be the ones they're looking at to say, how are you going to react? It is the wind that carries the ship across the waves. But the wind is powerless unless the hand of the boatman is held firmly upon the rudder. And the rudder is set hard against the wind. In like manner, we hold the rudder. God fills the sails. It is not the rudder that carries the ship, But it is the rudder which catches the wind that carries the ship. So God keeps us in perfect peace while we are stayed upon him. The important thing is to know that you're part of the equation, but it is God and his power that helps you. It is God's power that enables you to do what you need to do. I thought that was really good because it's going to tie into my message today. And I would title it this, Are You a Fan or a Disciple of Christ? Are you a fan or a disciple? In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will just declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, who practice lawlessness. I passed a vehicle yesterday going home, and I don't know where he was from, but on his car tag, it had True 49er. And he had San Francisco 49er stickers on his window and his car. You know, he was all decked out. I guess he was a San Francisco 49ers fan. I'm just guessing. I come to that conclusion because I saw memorabilia, stuff about 49ers on his truck. I mean, he even went so much to pay for a tag put on there. So I'm assuming he was a 49er, a true 49er fan. Probably like Scotty. When they're good and when they're bad. When they're up and when they're down. He was a true 49er fan. Well, I've got a few things I want to talk to you about this morning. Are you a fan or a disciple of Christ? Do you want to follow God when everything's going your way? Are you on the team when God answers all of your prayers the way you want them answered? But if he doesn't, you just want to be a fan that gets the option to show up. You know, that's what fans do. They have the option to show up. They don't have to show up. If you're on the team, you got to show up or you're not on the team. So are you a fan or a disciple? In contrast to a disciple, fans have a different role. We're going to illustrate that by comparing a fan to someone who's actually on the team. A fan sits on the sideline and cheers on the team. Now, if you can check more boxes to a fan than you check more boxes to a disciple, you're on the wrong team. You're a great fan, but you're not a disciple. A fan sits on the sidelines and cheers on the team. Woo, boy, we're doing good at church, man. I love my church. I like this, but you don't participate. Are you a fan or a disciple? The fan may invest some time in learning about their team. You know, there's some sports people that know everything about their team. They know when it was started, who the coach, every time there's a coaching change, who was the quarterback back in 1972 that threw the winning touchdown. They just know all this useless information. That's what I call it. I mean, now to a sports fan, no, that's great. Yeah, well, it's not going to win you any money probably, unless you're a sportscaster. But most of the stuff is like irrelevant. But they know so much because they study the team. They like the team. They're a fan. And they want to know this stuff just in case somebody asks them. Problem is, most people don't even know to ask that question. A fan may invest in purchasing some appropriate swag. Now, Scotty, I was hoping today, because I was hoping you was going to show up in some kind of giddy-up, you know, that you wear that's a sports. You didn't want to wear the hoodie. You know, Scotty always got some kind of sports theme going on. And I said, man, that's going to play good. If he had came in today with his Arkansas Razorback, I said, this is definitely from God. You hear me? And you would fly These team colors, you even get those pennants. You may even have a flag in your yard. I mean, that's what fans do. They want you to know who they're with. Is that right? They want you to know, who, hey, you come to this place. Look, if you come over and we're watching football, you're cheering for this team. Boy, wouldn't that be great if Christians were that way? You come around here, we're cheering for Jesus, Team Jesus. That's who we're for. That's who we're going to imitate. That we're on his team. We're a disciple of Christ. A fan watches the performance from the stands or watches from the game on TV. A fan hardly misses the game. I mean, they're there and they come the next morning or there and they're talking to people about this game. Because they're a fan. Man, if we could have just, if we could, like in Arkansas situation, if we could have just scored 20 more points, we'd have won. What was it, 50-something to 30-something? I'm not picking on Arkansas. Don't get me wrong. You know, we're in Arkansas. I'm just saying they're always this close to winning. No, I'm kidding. But guess what? On Monday, around the water cooler or the coffee pot, there's going to be people talking about, oh, we were just so close. No, you weren't. You were 3 touchdowns at minimum. But they're still a fan. Praise the Lord. They're still on the team. Man, for our team fan, they're the fan of the team. They watched it. They even spent money to go sit in the stands. I'm going somewhere. Are you a fan or a disciple? But a fan does not get directly involved. And if their team disappoints them, they may switch their allegiance. How many of you in here have loved a certain sports team for a long time and you switched teams for whatever reason? Everybody in here has done that one, but baseball, football, somebody. I mean, you've just switched. Now, Arvell, you hadn't, have you? Because you've never had a favorite sports team. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say, Arvell, you could care less if there's ever another game played in your life. Yeah, amen. That's a... If y'all are waiting on Arvell to support your sports team, you're going to go broke, amen? But you can switch teams if you want to. You can pledge your allegiance to something that's more satisfying. That's what happens in Christian walks. When God doesn't satisfy our 5 senses, we decide we will pledge our allegiance somewhere else. Oh, not openly. We're just going to draw back and start doing things that we know is really not right because they appeal to our fleshly senses because God really didn't move me in that area. God really didn't work for me there. So I'll just look for another source so I can be happy. I'll look for something else that makes me feel like I'm winning. Come on, somebody. There it is right there. Glory to God. A fan may know a lot about their team and its members. They may know the weight and the height and the speed of a player, but they don't really know them. Give you a lot of information about that person, but really have never met them. If they were to walk up to them and start telling them about their weight and their height and their speed and how big their jersey is and how what shoe size they wear, and this person said, I'm sorry, I don't know you. But it sounded like you knew them. I mean, that's pretty personal. How many of you know my shoe size? My wife don't even know my shoe size. 10 and a half? Boy, yeah, you do too. Never mind. Never mind, Billy, you're supposed to be quiet. But we get into this thing where we think we know God and we get in a rut, like this little devotion I was telling you about. We get in a rut and we're doing life and we talk about God and we know a lot about God, but we're not really disciples, we're just great fans. And a matter of fact, somebody says, will you pray with me? Oh, yeah, I'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Let me pray with you. Just because you can pray with someone doesn't mean that you're a disciple of Christ. It means you know how to pray. A fan may have detailed opinions about the strengths and weaknesses of its team members, and they enjoy discussing the recent game and player performance with other fans. Fans that come to church, they know a lot about people that are performing or doing whatever, the teaching or worshiping or pastoring, preaching. And they have a lot of discussions a lot of times about those people and the way they ought to do it. But they really ain't on the team. They're just fans that have never put forth the effort and the energy and the commitment to be a disciple. But they know how to be one. Oh, this is good. We would call that a Monday morning quarterback, I think. Armchair quarterback. Boy, if that coach would have called this play, they could have, man, I saw it right here. I mean, that guy was wide open right over here. Yeah, you're watching on a television from a screen up here, and he's on the other side of the football field, and he can't even see over there. Man, you're a great coach. And now, where do you coach? Well, I don't. Oh, you don't? Well, why not? I don't want to do all that. How many of you ever coached something in here, like from kids to, how many of you have coached? Well, God bless your hearts. Lord Jesus. Now, you coached a lot. 7 and 8 year olds. So really what you were doing, you didn't really coach 7 or 8 year olds. You coached her. So really what you did, you were management of parents.
Yes, very much.
Because every parent of a 7 and 8 year old, you know, they've got a contract. They're going to the pros. Come on, somebody. They're not going to the pros, probably. Probably not going. Just probably not going. But you think they are. And you think your child ought to be playing when really they ought to be a fan. They'd be a lot better fan than they are a teammate. Come on, you amen. I was a lot better baseball fan than I was player. I knew my role, so I didn't play. A player on the sports team is quite different than a fan. A player on the team spends time conditioning themselves and learning the playbook and practice and discipline on what they eat and what they don't eat, and discipline where they go and what time they go to bed. There's so much discipline in a professional athlete, it's unreal. They have natural talent, but they're disciplined people. And even college, they're very disciplined people. Why are they so disciplined? Because they want to stay on the team. Because they want to be the best at being on the team, being the best teammate, whether it be the guard or the tackle or the quarterback or the pitcher or the third baseman or the outfielder or whatever. They want to be the best, so they have to take themselves and make sure that they're committed to being on the team. Question. Are you really committed to being on God's team? If you're honest, don't raise your hands. If you're honest, have you really committed everything? Oh, not just your life so you can go to heaven. Nah, that's, yeah, okay. Not belittling that. I'm saying a disciple. Disciple is discipline. It's the worst word. That's the word there we're looking for, discipline. Have you disciplined yourself to be a disciple of Christ? Are you disciplined? Are there things in your life that you know that you're doing wrong that you need to do different so you can be a better team player? You know, if they would have asked me, now, what's the one thing you're going to have to get rid of if you're going to be on the team of running or sports? I'm going to say, well, number one, y'all got to quit bringing me Little Debbies. I don't see where Little Debbies work into an athlete's diet. Maybe one. One leads to one box for me, though, is my problem. So are you a disciple of Christ? Are you committed to being and doing what it takes? to be conditioned in your prayer life, to be conditioned in your Bible reading, to be conditioned in your study, to be conditioned when someone needs you that you're there to speak the gospel into their life, to speak Christ into their. Are you committed there? Are you thinking, I'll pray with you? See, God bless you, I'm going to pray with you. Glory to God. You know, you just move from what looked like to be a disciple to a fan. It's easy to be a fan. That's the easiest thing in the world. It's fun. It's exciting. I've only been to a couple professional games in my life, but man, it was fun. Glory to God. Woo! It was good. I liked it. I like sitting at the house watching on TV much better. Did y'all see that play? No, man, what was it? Yo, he done that. Oh, hang on. There it is. Oh, yeah, let's watch it again. That's cool. It's easier to be a fan. On game day, fans are in the stands or at home on the couch with a little Debbie and a glass of milk. These guys have been up doing calisthenics and getting warmed up for the last 2 hours, and man, you're there and you're rooting them on. But they're on the field and you're not. They're aware of the things that's going to happen. That where they're at is where the rubber meets the road. Where they're at is they have conditioned themselves and they have readied themselves and disciplined themselves to play the game. In today's world, it's a game of who's going to win and who's going to lose. It's also a game of who's going to heaven, who's going to hell. As a disciple of Christ, not a fan, but a disciple, how are you doing? How are you preparing for this game? How are you trying to help your teammates or people, potential teammates, to get to heaven? Where are you at in this picture? Are you a disciple? Or are you just a fan? You know, there's some people I know, well, they're a such and such fan. But they hadn't watched them in a year or so. They may even have a sticker on their vehicle on their window. And you may say something about, oh, so you're a Arkansas Razorback fan. No, not really. I just didn't take that sticker off. I wonder if people see us. Oh, you go to church over there, LVA? Yeah, well, yeah, I just ain't take the sticker off yet. I don't really go. That's where my membership is, but I don't really go. Where do you go? I don't really have a team. I feel the love in this house. I'm just going to tell you right now. On game day, the players are down on the field. They're executing plays drawn up for them by their coach. They have a coach. What? They have a coach. Yes. They don't get out there and just run around. They have a coach that's organized. It's got a team, got a plan. The Bible is your game book. It's a plan. It's got a playbook. That, man, it's got everything you're going to, every play you're going to engage in, it's in there. How to deal with it. I don't know this for a fact. But I'll say it because some of you may know this. But it was told to me that Peyton Manning would spend hours upon hours studying the opponent to know the plays of them when they would move formations. He was so good at that. Obviously, he was a great quarterback. No matter what you think about him, he was still a great quarterback. And I could care less one way or the other about him, okay? I'm just saying he was a great quarterback. Because he studied and he knew the plays. He knew what was going on. Are you that good with studying God's word? Do you know the tricks of the enemy? Do you know the playbook of the enemy? Well, all you got to do is read God's word and his is just the opposite. That's too easy. I just have to read one book. A quarterback has to study many teams' playbook. We just got to read one. You know what God's word says? Then expect the devil to do just the opposite. God came to give you life. What did he come to? What did Satan come to? Kill, steal, and destroy. He's just got three plays, really. Kill, steal, and destroy. Doesn't care how he does those, but that's three plays. How are you doing in knowing God's playbook? Are you dedicated or are you just a fan? Are you a disciple? Are you just here for the camaraderie? You just here to drink beer? I'm just there to drink beer and eat popcorn and peanuts. I don't even know how we got here, actually. Somebody paid my ticket. I just got in here. That's the way some people view church. It's just there. We go because my wife is such a nag. Glory to God. And she says, if I don't go, there's going to be trouble at the house. I'm here. Glory to God. Woo-hoo. Could be the other way around. It ought to be the men, because you're the priest of the home, saying, get your hind end up. We're going to church. What the priest says. Woo! They each have the teammates. They each have their part to play in the game, and each one is important to the outcome of the game. Well, they're not going to miss me. All I do is pray. You know, I'm just a prayer warrior, and I'm just praying. They're not going to miss me. Really? Well, I'm just there. I'm just. I don't really do anything. I'm just going to show up. They're not going to miss me. I don't show up to serve. There's somebody else will do it. I mean, there's a lot of people. They can do it. They can do it. And this person can do it. Well, yeah, here's the problem. You know why you're doing it? Because they ain't doing it. Well, do you ever think about that? Maybe the reason you're doing something because nobody else would do something. I know a lot of people that they've got their start in ministry because somebody wouldn't do something in this church. And they said, well, I'll step up and do it. And the Lord's blessed them and they do other things now. Can I get a witness, Billy? Can I get a witness, Jason? Can I get a witness, Scotty? Come on, somebody. Unlike the fan who sits and watches, the team player is actively involved in the game. Are you a player? Or are you a fan? It's quiet in here. If that fan wasn't running, I'm telling you, we could drop a pin in here and hear this whole bing. Three things a disciple will do. Disciples, now you need to write these down if you're taking notes. If you're already mad at me, put them in the mental note, okay? Because I'm going to tell you what they are. There's three things that a disciple will do. Disciples spend time with Jesus. Not at church, they spend time with Jesus. In their alone time, when it's just them and God, no kids, no wife, no phones, no nothing, just them and God. Disciples spend time with Jesus. Number two, disciples serve. They participate. They get involved in some area. You can do something for God. But I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, show up and start doing something. I guarantee you can take the broom out of somebody's hand. I guarantee you can take the toilet brush out of somebody's hand. Now, if you can't sing, don't try to get on the worship team. If you can't play like Carl, don't get up and try to play the guitar. Come on, somebody. Disciples show up at the game. Oh, did I say that wrong? I meant disciples show up at church. I want to look around the room so nobody thinks I'm picking on you when I'm just looking in one area. You know how I know to do all that stuff? Because I've been there before. I love you. I want you to be on the team. I want you to be a fan, but I want you to be on the team. Three things. Spend time with Jesus, they serve, and they attend church. Both Mary and Martha, watch this, both Mary and Martha were disciples of Christ, but look at the somewhat different roles they played. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, is my wife in here? Honey, are we going to, music or you can come, it doesn't matter. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says this, now it happened as they went and that he entered into a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister is being lazy, sitting there talking to you, and I'm over here slaving? That's not really what the Word of God says, but it really is what the Word of God said. Let me just read what the Word said. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know what happened right there? She was carrying a big burden. There was a role for both Martha and Mary at the same time, at the same place, with the same Jesus. There were different roles, but yet nonetheless, they were roles. They were both disciples. If you read about Martha and Mary, they were with him all the way. Some of the first ones after the tomb that still believed. They'd go tell them fellas, hey, guess what? He ain't there. They didn't believe him. They had a role to play. And Martha's role was she was serving. But that didn't mean that Jesus shouldn't be worshiped. You know, I just got to believe, though Scripture doesn't tell us this, that somewhere in here that Mary also served. I believe Mary served just as much as Martha, but she found a place where she was just worshiping the Savior. The one who had forgiven her of much, who had realized that the mercy and the grace and the love had not reached a critical point with her, that there was an abundant supply of love, mercy, and grace. She was a dedicated disciple, dedicated fan. Verse 41 says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Here's what I know about serving in a church. If you get right with God, you're going to want to serve in God's kingdom. It's just that simple. If you truly worship God, he wants you to do that. That's important. But guess what? When that happens, you're going to find ways to serve within the body of Christ to extend and build the kingdom of God. Boy, it's quiet today. Carl, what's happening today? Maybe revelation is coming. You know, that's what I prayed, that the Lord would give us revelation today. Thank you, I guess it will. Last scripture. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, says this, let us consider, the word consider means to set one's mind on or toward in a direction. It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up. That's to incite, incitement. That means to push in a direction. As a disciple, we should consider, point our mind in one direction in order to stir up love and good works. Are you stirring up love and good works where you're at? Are you stirring up strife? Are you stirring up at the workplace? Well, you know, I could have had this done, boss man, but this person, they're just slow and they're not going to make it. They're holding me back. Well, did you talk to your coworker? Maybe he or she, maybe a spouse just left. Maybe they lost a loved one. Who knows? I don't. Maybe there's a reason why they're not performing like you think they ought to. Maybe there's a reason why you're not picking up on why they're not performing, that you hadn't been spending time with Jesus in order to know the heart of your co-workers. There's more to it than just saying I'm a Christian. There's more to it than just being a fan. Are you a disciple? verse 25, for not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting. That word exhort means to comfort, instruct, encourage, and strengthen one another. How many people did you encourage and strengthen this week? You know, I have this sneaky suspicion that the Arkansas Razorbacks fans, a lot of them, said, we're going to do better next week. I've got hope, man. I know they're getting it together. They're coming a long way. They're encouraging one another as a fan. I wonder, as us as church, as disciples, are we encouraging those around us? You don't like your workplace. You don't like your wife. You don't like your husband. You don't like your kids. You don't like your church. You don't like your pastor. You don't like the worship. Have you encouraged? Have you lifted them up in prayer to the Lord and say, God, it's not even about me, but I lift my brothers and my sisters up. I lift my coworkers up. I lift my boss up. I lift my wife, my husband, my children up to you to get a different perspective. Maybe you ought to quit being a fan and start being a disciple. Well, that's a lot of hard work, preacher. Yeah, it is. You got to bite your tongue, swallow your pride. It's your fault. A lot of times you got to say, man, that was on me. Hey, kiddos, that was on me. I'll tell one story and I'm going to close. It's been 20 years ago now, that I sat in my living room where I live, not where I live now. So it's been more than that. I've lived there 18 years, so it was way before that. My kids, Sam was 10, so 25 years ago, 25. And me and my wife were having an adult conversation, mostly me having the conversation and her listening. Come on, somebody. You know, I had an anger problem and I said some hurtful things, and I look down the hall and I notice my children are there. And immediately, I had to call my family together, Eddie. I sat on a couch, put Ethan up on this knee and my daughter Sam up on this knee. My wife was standing here. She didn't want to be around me, really. Come on, somebody, I'm to be real with you. But she participated. I told my kids I was wrong. I need your forgiveness. I need you to forgive Daddy. Daddy was wrong, and I'm sorry. Had to do the same to my wife. Now, I don't know about you, but that takes discipline. That's hurt. I didn't want to do that, but I knew that's what I needed to be doing as a disciple, as a priest of my home. Now, I can tell you how not to have to do that and skirt around all of that, and you'll never have to do what I did. Hold your tongue. I don't know which is harder, holding your tongue or having to apologize, knowing it's your fault, to your family. And can I tell you this? I've had to do that more than once. I just got this suspicion that if I keep living, I'll probably have to do it again. But you know what got me through those moments and those times, and our family through those times? We were on the team. We weren't just fans of the gospel. We weren't just fans of Jesus. We were teammates. And we had to go through discipline and hard work, and those things that are not fun. And I want to encourage you today. Maybe this is you. Maybe that story is exactly you. Maybe yours is a little different. Maybe you didn't raise your kids right, or maybe you haven't done right by your spouse or your husband. Maybe you hadn't done right by God. I can tell you this, until you get right with God, you'll apologize every day of your life because you can't do right without God. So are you a fan of Christ? Or are you a teammate? Are you a disciple of Christ? I hope this message challenges you as much as I see it on your face. You're either mad or you're really challenged. I don't know. But I believe it's what the Lord laid on my heart. Because I know that time is short. The kingdom needs to expand. And it's got to start with people being committed to the team. Team Jesus. So I want you to be a disciple today. Disciple of Christ. Be a disciple of Christ. Don't be a fan. Know him. I don't want us to get to heaven. And the Lord say, because everybody's going there, how long you stay there is up to you. But I want us to be like my friend, our friend Dale Everett. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want him to say, man, you knew a whole lot about me. Marty, you did great. You even preached a while. Man, you were doing so good. You did great. Depart from me, I don't know you. Depart from me, I never knew you. You can use God's power for a lot of things. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know about him? Or do you know him? Hallelujah. Will you just stand with me all across this building? Every head bowed and every eye closed, please. Father, I have delivered, I believe, the word that you have sent me today, for today. Lord, I pray that a challenge has went out. Lord, not condemnation, not arrogance, not pride, Lord, not a separation, but Lord, I pray today that a challenge has went out to your people, to me. Lord, help us to be disciples of Christ and not fans. Help us to be participators. Lord, down where the field is, down on the field where the things happen, Lord. Lord, there's a world that's dying and going to hell because there's fans in the church and few teammates. God, I pray that you help me, Lord, to be a teammate, a participator in the things of God. Wherever you've placed me, Lord, in the workforce, in the marketplace, in the home, in volunteering, wherever we are this week, Lord, as we sit around tables, as our families come together, that we know will not, some of those members are not saved. Lord, will you give us the gumption and the anointing, Lord, to speak Jesus into people's lives, to tell them about you, God. It's not enough, Lord, just let them see our lives as we live out a Christian life. Lord, we need to speak the word of Jesus, the word of God into their lives. Lord, we thank you that this Thanksgiving season, we're going to have the boldness and the courage to tell our lost loved ones about you. What do we have to lose, Lord? What do they have to lose? They have everything to lose. A life of sin, a life of heartache, life of torment. And they can gain everything in you, God. Lord, we thank you. If you're in this room with your head bowed and your eyes closed, you say, Pastor, I need to be more of a participator than a fan. No one's looking around. I want you to slip your hand up across this building. Yes, I see that hand, see that hand, see that hand, see that hand, see that hand. I see that hand, see that hand, see that hand, I see that hand. Hands everywhere across. I see these hands everywhere. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, now you anoint us. You anoint us, Lord. You give us the strength, Lord, to be a participator. You give us strength, Lord, to do and to say and to be and to spend time with you and get in your word. Lord, you discipline us, Lord, that we may become the best player. Lord, that we may become the best worshiper, the best teacher, the best server, the best preacher, the best audio person, the best singer, Lord. Lord, and the best witnesser to the world. We pray this in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus. And everyone says amen and amen. Let me bless you before we go today. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask you bless your people. I ask God that your face would shine upon us, that we would find favor with God and with man, that prosperity, job promotions, raises, and increase would come our way. And Lord, that peace would blanket every rooftop, so that when we lay down this afternoon or this evening, that sweet sleep would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In Jesus' name, and everyone says, amen and amen. Don't forget, we'll have no midweek service this coming week.